And we got down to verse 15 last week, so we begin at Acts 10:16 today. Acts 10:16. Let's read 16, 17, and 18 together at verse 16. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again unto heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. Right in verse 16, who's the actor here? This was done thrice. To whom?
Peter.
Verse Peter, okay. And what was done thrice? The sheep was lowered thrice. And what was in that sheep? Unclean animals. And what did the Lord command Peter to do? Rise, slay, and eat. Okay, and what did Peter say? Yes, Anna? Not so. I've never done eaten anything unclean. And what did the Lord then say? What I have cleansed, you cannot call unclean. All right, so God has cleansed that. All right. And so then, in verse 30, let me went too far. Verse 16 was there. Now, I skipped the line. Verse 17, Peter doubted himself. What about doubts? You all right, John? What's up? Okay, Mrs. Wake to the rescue, I think. Shut it off. It's on record, but it's real joy of the rescue. Okay, it's right. Yeah, okay, got the wrong thing. Okay, John's a little rusty. He hasn't been on that machine for all these many months. So, oil him up a little bit, Joe. He won't squeak quite so badly. A little rusty. All right. So, Peter doubted. Were there any other Bible characters that doubted?
Thomas.
What did he doubt about? Anna? All right, whether Jesus was risen? Okay. So, he doubted about the risen of what is Lord Jesus was rising. Any other? Yeah.
Peter's doubting that
he had a
basis for it?
Yes. What was his basis?
The law said not to do this.
That's right.
The law he was familiar with, the Old Testament law.
That's right.
And I know it's just a, it says it's a vision. I'm not sure how vivid a vision it was. Mm-hmm. But you have the example you mentioned last week about the two prophets or something. The one false prophet said he had a vision of an angel. And he,
yes.
And the one prophet knew God said not to do something.
We read about that in our Bible reading this week, didn't we, the other day. Prophet that was going to curse the altar of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's altar.
Yeah, this other prophet said this other guy, this other prophet said it's okay.
That's right.
I think Peter's doubt was legitimate. I mean, if somebody tells us this in the contrary to Scripture, we should have a hesitation.
That's true. But if the Lord tells us to do something that he's overridden the Scripture, then that might be different. Yes, Tammy?
Well, it seems like the doubt in this particular phrase seems to refer to what he understood, not necessarily his obedience.
Yes.
He just didn't understand.
Right. He doubted in himself as to what this vision should mean. See, he didn't know, because he was taught, as Dan said, never to eat anything unclean. Any of those animals were unclean in the Old Testament. So I wondered what it would mean. He didn't know what the application, that's what he meant. He didn't know the application of this principle. He would find that out as soon as Cornelius comes into the house. Behold, the men that were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry at Simon's house. Stood before the gate. So they had gates in their houses, and they had fences. Why was that, this place? Some people have gates today. Fences around their house. Yes, sir.
So that no
one can
get in?
No one can get in? We saw that, didn't we, Vaughn, in Nassau, the Bahamas. Lots of gates around them. We see that sometimes in Camden. We see that in different places going through to protect.
A lot of fenced in areas.
See, that way, the burglars can still come in, but it makes it more difficult. You got to climb over, so they're just trying to protect maybe their property. And what? Yes, ma'am? Oh, yes, yes. There's plenty of that to do here. Okay, I should bring it. All right.
surprise for the people here.
Let's
see, go ahead. Maybe like this?
Bring them back closer.
Closer? Put people. Laura? Oh, let me see. Oh, no, you're all right. Like that? Like that?
And bring in those boys.
Boys?
Boys,
oh, yeah, I get the boys right there.
There
they are. Is that all right? We got them? Okay, when they talk, then you go over there, John. Okay, my wife is a teacher there. She's teaching you the techniques. So, now, how many men were sent by Cornelius? And why were they sent? Why did they come, Peter? Who told them? Yes, Tommy? Cornelius told them. And who told Cornelius to send them? The angel. All right, so he had a right from the Lord to go to seek Simon Peter. And so they came. How many men were there again?
Two.
Two plus one. Okay, there were three, were there? Just two? All right, let's see how many there were.
There were three.
What verse is it?
Two of the servants.
Two of the servants?
And a soldier.
Okay, so there are three men that came to inquire Peter's house. God told them to come. And so when they stood before the gate, they were right there, and they called. Why would they call? They say, I'm here, so they had to call and let somebody in. They didn't want to break the gate, they didn't want to climb over the fence. And what was their question? Yvonne?
I don't know if you, when you were young, we were young at the same time.
Oh, yes, we were young at the same time, and we were old at the same time.
Yeah, we didn't call in the beginning at the same time.
Yes.
You
call. That's right. Stand outside.
What would he say? I forget.
I don't know. That's what she said. I didn't say anything about Alice. I didn't know anything about Alice. Yeah. So that was what we did. So they stood in there.
Audrey, come play.
Right. No. But now they called and asked for Simon. What does it mean, surname? What does that mean, surname? Last name. What is all of our surnames? Do you have surnames, Anna?
Wait.
Your name is surname is Wait. And Loretta? Smith? Laura? Margaret? So we have surnames. We have last names. And it was Simon, surname Peter. If you lodge there. Now, how did they, let me ask you this. How do you think they found the house of Simon the Tanner? Doesn't say, but what do you think that they did?
His name might be on a post outside.
Oh, maybe so. Yes.
Tanner?
You smelled it. Why would it smell? Yes, the heather.
Next to the sea.
Next to the sea. Maybe it was next to the sea. Was it? Yes, Anna.
They asked around.
What was it?
They asked around.
They probably asked around. So I don't know how many houses there were. I'm sure there were a lot of houses. And where was this town involved? Where was the town? I don't know whether John's going to be able to get the town. Oh, it says shut off?
No.
Oh, like that. Okay, yeah, then?
On verse 6, it does say, he was instructed ahead of time whose house is by the seaside. In verse 6.
All right, so his house was by the seaside, maybe.
It's limited to a couple hundred, maybe.
Maybe a couple hundred. There's a number of houses on the seaside. Now, I don't know whether John is able or willing to tell us where Joppa is. There's Caesarea. That's where Cornelius was. Here's Joppa. See that, John?
Yeah.
See Joppa? Because we have, I think, four families that do watch our videos on the Book of Acts. So the head is in the way. Oh, that's all right. How?
Raise the camera.
Oh, well, we're all right. We're fine. That's fine. So they found out where he was, and Simon the Tanner, as you say, he may have smelled it because the tanning of the hides certainly gave a specific odor. He may have had paraphernalia around, may have had old animals, tools of the trade. I don't know what all the tools were needed to skin animals. That's fine.
I was very interested when I made my latest video tape. The Joppa is at Muscool or something like that.
Oh, yes. Masul or whatever that, what we hear on the news all the time, Masul or whatever it was.
That sounds great.
That's Joppa. That's what you found.
Well,
I don't remember what you found out. Well, Nineveh, okay. Maybe you found something. Nineveh, well, we don't have it on this map, do we?
No,
it's in Iraq. That's in Iraq, so we don't have, this is a Bible, Palestine, so we can't.
That's real interesting.
Yeah. Right. But,
that was in Iraq, and Mosul or whatever name it was the old name of the capital of that country. So they sure named it. Let's read verse 19, 20, and 21 together. While Peter thought on this vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent him. Then Peter sent the one man, who sent unto him, Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause where he had come? Alright, that was, he went to the cause. Now, verse 19, what was Peter doing now? Was he sleeping? Yes, Heather? Probably praying. And what else? He's thinking, what was he thinking about? What was the purpose? Anna? The vision that he'd seen. And what was this vision again? Let's repeat. Ricky, do you know what that vision was that he saw? No. What was the vision? Again, you said, but...
She was let down
with a bunch of animals, clean and unclean, from heaven. He wondered, he still pondered the thing. He was thinking. Is it a good idea to think? All right, it's a good idea to think. But sometimes can thinking get us off in our position? If it's the wrong thinking? Because right thinking and wrong thinking, am I right? If you think according to the Bible, it's all right. But there's lots of philosophers in colleges, seminaries, universities that are thinkers, but they think wrong thoughts. So it's all right to think if it's the proper thinking, in line with the Scriptures, in line with truth. But he thought on the vision, and what did the Holy Spirit say to him? What did he announce to Peter? Well, that's true. And what did verse 19 especially have him?
Three men were seeking him.
Now, why didn't Peter know this? Maybe they couldn't yell loud enough. Isn't that right? They called him to him. This is the place where Peter was. But why do you suppose the Spirit had to tell Peter?
To warn him that they were coming so he could look out for him.
Probably warn him and alert him, yes.
The Spirit, yes.
Yeah. All right. Doubting and so on. And so he said, three men, and seek thee. See, in other words, it wasn't just a call for Simon the Tanner, who lived in the same house. See, Simon Peter lodged there. What's the difference between lodging there and living there, technically? Is there a difference?
Temporary.
And a person living there?
Permanent.
Permanent, dwelling down. So, then, what was the command of the Holy Spirit, verse 20? What is Peter to do? What object? What? Remember, we talked this might be doers, though, not just hearers only, but doers. What was he to do?
Go there.
Go downstairs, wherever he was. He was probably up on the roof. Maybe the second floor, they have things on the roof. On the roof, there was a roof train, wasn't it? That's where it says in verse what? 9? 10? Yeah, on the housetop. See, verse 9 says he's on the housetop. And that reminds me of the misuse of the women who have their hair up in a knob. Remember the preachers used to preach on that? And the Scriptures said that that's unscriptural. And they get it from the Lord Jesus' words where it says, they on the housetop should come down, see. And they use the word housetop, not top, not come down. Those in the housetop, not come down. Those three in the winter, and those in the housetop, not come down. So, top, not come down. See, that's where they misuse the Scripture. So, it's in the book of Matthew. No. I mean, it's not scriptural to twist the Scriptures. They use that as a proof text, what I was trying to get at. I didn't tell it very well. It's stupid, silly, anyway. But anyway, he's on the housetop, and that just referred to me in my mind as to what some people mistakenly use to show these things. Then he was told to arise and go down because he was up on the housetop. Go with them. Why is the next phrase there? Why is the next phrase?
Doubting nothing.
Yes. Why?
He
was in doubt. Whether these things should be not. How did the Holy Spirit of God know this? God knows everything. He's omniscient. And see, Simon the Tanner didn't know anything about it. Maybe Peter didn't know, but the Holy Spirit said, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So this was from the Holy Spirit, and there was clear that it was from the Lord. And so did Peter obey in that verse 21. He was obedient. He went down, and met with Cornelius, and said, "I am he whom thou seest." Then he asked the question, "What's the cause for your coming? Why did you come here? What's your purpose?" I guess that's a good idea. Some people come to your house and they just show up. They say nothing. They do nothing. And I guess an obvious question is, what can I do for you? Or why are you here? What, you know, a lot of people knock on the door. You don't know whether they're salesmen, whether they want some Bible for the day, or whether they want to come to church, you know. But Peter came right out with it. What, I am whom he may seek. What is the cause? Why are you here? No, perfectly good question of Peter. Let's read 22, 3, and 4 together. "And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee unto his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends." All right, so 22. What did they think about their boss, centurion Cornelius? What did they say concerning him?
Just
man, that's right, that's fine. Just man and one that fears God, which means what? Fears God. Walked with God, God-fearing. God-fearing, and he knew that God was strong. And what was the third thing he said about it? Just, fearing God, and good report. What would that mean, good report?
Testimony.
People knew who he was and what he was. And even his workmen that worked with him and the soldier that was on his staff, they may not have believed, but they knew their boss believed in the Lord. He was just, probably apostolic to Judaism. And so that was his testimony, and that's what they said. And then the good report among all the nation of the Jews. Now, what was the explanation why they were there? What did they say about that? Why were they there? What motivated these three men to come? What did they say? What was their... Yes, all right, the holy angel, warned of God by holy angel, send for thee into his house. What else? Send for him and do what else? They hear the words. All right, John, do you get back and forth from the people as they're talking? Okay. Now, to hear words. So there are definitely going to be words. There are going to be a testimony. There are going to be a message that were given that to Cornelius needed. And that's why I had to hear the words. And so... was Peter hospitable or inhospitable? Hospitable. Right. He invited them in. Now, I don't know what authority he had. Maybe Simon the Tanner said, "You can have some guests stay here." Seems like he took over the house, didn't he? Seems like he was the boss. When you are just a lodger, it's a little unusual that you would be able to invite your friends and lodge too. Some people do that, but evidently it was all right with Simon the Tanner. Maybe Simon was on vacation, or maybe he was gone, and so... Peter took over, lodged them. How long did he lodge them? Just the day of the night, so. Then what happened? When did they leave Joppa? Yes, to heaven. Next day on the morrow. And where did they go then? From Joppa to Caesarea. We said that's about 25 miles from here to here. That's probably double that, so probably maybe a good 50 miles up the coast. You don't think so, Tammy? You know what? What do you think it is? 35 or 40? That may be right. Here, here. All right. We'll settle for maybe 35 or 40 or maybe 30. All right. But he had to go. How long did it take him to get there?
6 hours
or 18 hours. 6 hours or
18
hours? Was it? 2 days. Well, it says on the morrow they left. And... after they entered, and okay, and the morrow after. So on the morrow, they left. In other words, they lodged one evening, the next day they left, the morrow after, Yeah, so it's a good day, isn't it? More active, so it's a good day's journey. And then they came to Cornelius and entered into Caesarea. What was Cornelius doing? Out soldiering somewhere? Yes, Tom?
Waiting for him.
Waiting. How do you suppose he was waiting for him? What would make him wait for Peter? Here's a centurion over 100 men, a military man in the Roman army. Why did he say waited?
Anxious.
He's anxious. Why do you think he waited? Did he believe that this would happen? That Peter would come? See, now, he commands people and men under him, and they're supposed to do as he says, but here's a man who's an apostle. But he had faith that Peter would come and be obedient, and the three men he sent out would bring him back. So he waited. He was patient. Is it easy or hard to wait? Sometimes it's hard to wait. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, you have need of patience. That if you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We have need of patience. Anna? Sometimes it's easy to wait. If you know it, that's not taking long. If you know that there's going to be a click in 30 minutes, it's easy to wait. See? But if you don't know, it's indefinite. It's difficult. And so he was waiting for them, and what had he done to prepare for this? Now, how long did it take the three men, first of all, to go from Joppa, or from Caesarea to Joppa, roughly? If it took them a day or so to go back, probably be another day coming, all right? So a day there, day back, and they stayed overnight. What's the time that Cornelius had, approximately?
2, maybe 3 days,
2.5 days. So he was, now what had he done to prepare for Peter's visit? People together, as well as his kinsmen. Now, is that a good idea or a bad idea to call the kinsmen? What? Why did he do that? Yes, Bonnie?
I noticed when the fine thing down there says for kinsmen, God is male.
Male relatives. That's interesting. Male relatives. This is a masculine. All right, that's good. Why do you suppose he called these relatives, these kinsmen? Yes, Bonnie? All right, the telephonics. In other words, he knew there was going to be a message from the Lord, so he invited his friends. Is it good to invite friends to hear the message of the Lord? Yes, and that's why it's good to invite folk whenever. He invited, and their friends. So he had a group of people there, possibly waiting 1 day, 2 days, maybe 2.5 days. I don't know when they came. Does this evidence faith on his part? It certainly does. If God told him to send men to Peter and have Peter return, he believed God, didn't he? That's what happened. Do you think many people would believe that thing? I mean, certain people's words you can accept and believe and trust. Can you trust everyone's word?
No.
They say they're going to do something a certain day. Do they always do it? No. So you can't always depend on people, but he depended upon the Lord and his word, as the Spirit of God told him. And so he invited his friends to hear this, because one of the messages, they're going to hear words from me. There's going to be a message given by Peter to you. And that's why he invited the friends. Yes, Anna?
Yeah.
We love it all, right? A little bit louder, honey. I can't hear. Sometimes people what? Tammy, could you repeat? I couldn't hear. What else? Oh, Psycom. Okay, well, we like the Psycom as well as the other. Yes, Bob?
This is how you get time to teach people the word. When they say they're going to do something, to do it all spontaneous.
Yes, that's
because we need a lot of people that say they're going to do things.
I know. Maybe well-meaning, but if we are not able to fulfill what we say, then we call, we let people know, which is good. But you see, in verse 6, did God tell Cornelius what was going to happen when Peter came? Verse 6, what was going to happen when Peter arrived? Was it? They'll be told. That's right. Told what? for this?
What he should do.
What he should do. See, so Cornelius, when somebody says you got somebody to tell you what to do, do you always want to hear them telling you what to do? You may not want to do what they tell you to, see, but was Cornelius wanting to hear? Do you think he was going to do it as well as hear? Like we said, it's more hearing, but doing as he was ready. He's ready to hear. He was to his kinsmen, his friends. Yeah. Let's read verse 25, 6, and 7 together. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he sent men in and found many that were come together. All right, in verse 25, what was the reaction of Cornelius to Peter? Yes, Sahara? Is that what we should do?
No.
Did Peter accept the worship?
No.
Did the Roman Catholics say Peter was the first what? Pope. Does the Pope accept worship?
Yes.
So if he's the first Pope, he wasn't a very good one, because he did not accept worship. He said, who should we worship? Whom should we worship? The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God Almighty. That's in the commandments, isn't it? I am the only God, and Him only shall thou serve. No images? Should they worship the idols of Rome and the Roman Catholic Church?
No.
These men that came from Canada were Roman Catholics. They told me a little bit about the background of their Roman Catholicism. I didn't know it, maybe you didn't either, but they believed that all bread is sacred. All bread is the body of Christ. Any bread. And before you can throw that bread away, you must kiss it. Yeah, sorry, did you do that?
Yes.
I never knew that. How'd you know that? Just see. So anyhow, so when Peter was at his mother's house and threw away his bread and they asked without kissing it, blessing it, whatever, his mother was very angry because he's a Roman Catholic. Well, he was no longer Roman Catholic, so it's interesting. Very strange practices. And of course, kissing Mary, he was a young boy, he went to church all the time. He went even more than the other brothers, Peter did, this one that was up here this morning. He went and he would kiss the Virgin's hand or whatever he's supposed to kiss, the feet, whatever he can reach, yeah. So this is worshiping idols. God does not want us to worship men or idols. Now, fell down at his feet. Are there other ways to worship? And they use a loose term, worship, in a loose understanding of the term. Like what? Yeah? Miranda?
Worship on the knee.
On the knee? Don? Yes? But, yes, Tammy?
Making something more important than God.
Making something more important than God. The last, look at the last verse or so of 1 John, says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Idols are something you worship. Now, is it only stone or silver or brass? There's other idols. Whether on matinee idols, you know, football idols, different idols. So I think we've got to be careful that we don't worship anyone but the Lord in real adoration and praise. Now, some people worship the wrong Greek text, for example. They bow down to it, whatever it says they do. When I used that with the debate on James, with James White, saying that some of the men worship the Westcott North text or the wrong different text, he didn't like that. Well, it's not worship. Well, what is it if you follow it everywhere you go? If you go where it goes, you take out this verse, you have this verse in Scripture, whatever that critical text changes it. It's a form of worship to me, so I just use that word. He didn't like that at all. I was horrible. Peter was, he rebuked him, didn't he? Stand up. I don't know. Now, as he talked with him, now who's the first he referred to, you think, in verse 27? As he talked with him. That's Peter, and who's the him referred to then? As he talked with him, he went in, and what did he find when he got there? Now, do you think Peter was expecting many people?
No.
Well, I don't think it told him, but do you think he was glad or sad? Probably glad. If you have something to say that's worthwhile, if you're talking about the things of the Lord, giving a message that's proper, doesn't matter whether few or many. I mean, they should be able to hear it. So Peter was, I'm sure, glad to have these men that were come together. And then, let's see, let's read verse 28, 9, and 30, please. And he said unto them, you know how that it was an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or common to one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent unto me. And Cornelius said it 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. I think it was an idea 4 days ago. In other words, so you got a few days of travel. Then in verse 28, Peter explained to Cornelius, what did he explain that the Jewish custom was what? What was the custom here?
The Jews were accused of themselves.
All right, not to go into any other nation. That's why, John, that the Lord Jesus, when he went from Jerusalem to Samaria, the Jews normally went where? That's right, went over here, down Jordan, and went this way. Maybe up beyond there, that's right, and when they wanted to go up this in the area of Sea of Galilee. But the Lord Jesus went right straight through Samaria, didn't he? Right straight through, you must needs go through Samaria. So, yes, Anna, did you have a comment?
No.
He came, and he said it was unlawful for a man to keep company with anybody but the Jews. Now, what did Peter get in trouble with Paul for? Galatians is mentioned. What was it? Okay, he would eat with the Greek believers, the Gentiles, but when the Jews came that didn't want the Jews and the Gentiles together, he would get away from those Gentiles. That was hypocritical. Did Paul agree with Peter or not? No. Did Paul say anything about it? What did he say?
Book of Galatians.
He said, I withstood him to his face, for he was to be blamed. That's what it says in Galatians. Sometimes, should you correct Christians if they're wrong? If you're wrong, this is up to us. It says in Scripture that we should be able also to admonish one another. Admonish means to encourage and to point out things that maybe not exactly right. And one of the things that was asked the other day of the gentleman that came from Canada, is it right? Some people say, you know, that if we're too critical of fellow Christians, that some people say we should be against the Jehovah's Witnesses, against all the cults, against the false religions, and so on and so forth. But why are we fighting among ourselves and criticizing this Christian, this Christian, this Christian? What is your answer to that? Yes, Tammy?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't be criticizing them. You should be speaking directly to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the normal way
we should do things decently in order, that's true. You can't always talk to those that you are disagreeing with. What must always be the test and standard for disagreement among Christians? The Scriptures, the Bible, that's exactly right. That's the test, that's the yardstick. And I told the young man that asked that question, I said, fundamentalism, which we are, which we believe in, according to Dr. George Dowell, the history of fundamentalism in America, he wrote the book, good book, he says there's two different phases of fundamentalism, two of them. Number one, fundamentalist upholds and stands for everything the Bible stands for. Number two, it exposes and contradicts everything the Bible is against. So you see, you have to have both these poles, the standing for truth and standing against error. So our battle should be against error. Now, can error be found in Christians? Yes. Can error be found in non-Christians? Yes. But if our battle's with error, not with people, see? So people should understand when a surgeon cuts out cancer from your body, is he against your body? What's he after? What's he against? That's the cancer. So see, we've got to be very delicate, very careful. As Tommy said, there are ways and means of doing things, but we have, this was common or unclean. God says, see, Peter got the message. He pondered it, he doubted, he didn't know the meaning of it. Finally, apparently it came clear to Peter that the Lord told me I could now talk to you. I couldn't do it before, but now he's opened the door, all right? He's given me the interpretation. I have called it clean. Don't you dare call it unclean. See, they associate with Gentiles. And that's the way we should be able to associate. Not close fellowship, but we should at least be able to talk to those that are lost and unsaved. And so then he says, in verse 29, I came unto you. What does gainsaying mean? Gainsaying. I came without gainsaying.
Directly.
Directly, all right, gainsaying, not any doubting of any kind, is it? Speaking against somebody, all right. So without any argumentation, without any debate, as soon as I was sent for. Now, what does that indicate with Peter? Or excuse me, Cornelius. What does that indicate about Cornelius? He's just, he fears God, and he's a good report, but also he's prompt, all right? He's prompt, and in the promise, in addition to that, it's called what? Doing. Which is, when you do something you're supposed to do, what is that called? You are what? What is it?
Obeying.
So you're obedient, all right? So he was prompt in obeying as soon as, but he obeyed, that's obedience. So obedience is important, isn't it? Someone has defined obedience as doing what is wanted when it's wanted. So you have both levels, you have both dimensions. You do what, but you do when. What and when, they're going together. Right, because to do what is wanted when it's too late is not obedience, see. And do something right now, but it's not what's wanted, that's disobedience also. So we, as soon as, I like that about Cornelius. See, the more you look at the man, a just man, people liked him in the nation, and it's a good testimony. See, now this man, Cornelius, apparently is not even saved. He's even probably a proselyte, he's a just man. He knew that he's with the Jewish faith, but he hadn't come to Christ yet. Peter was the one that was going to lead him to the Lord. But I tell you, some people that are lost are sometimes, not always, sometimes better people than saved people professing Christians. Am I right or wrong? I mean, at least the outward appearance, not that the Lord sees us, our hearts, but outwardly. But this man was a good testimony. So he says that it came as soon as. Why did he come in verse 20? Why did Cornelius tell Peter he came? He came as soon as he was sent for, but why? He didn't know. And I asked, therefore, what intent he had sent for me. He wanted to know. He was curious, why have you sent for me? Peter said, why have you sent for me? And what was Cornelius, what was his response in verse 30? Why did he? He talked about, he was in a trance 4 days ago. So, 2 days of travel, 2 days back, 4 days, that would be about right, but 2 days and 2 days would be 4 days. And how did he describe it? What time of day was it again? What time of day was it? Afternoon? And what exact? 3 o'clock. The ninth hour would be 6 hours in the morning. 6 a.m. was the beginning of the Jewish day. So it was the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. What did he praying? And a man stood before me in bright clothing. Now, what did he call him in the earlier part of this chapter? It's an angel. So, bright clothing, an angel. This is a description of the angel, wasn't it? In bright clothing. Remember in the Mount of Transfiguration, what happened to the Lord Jesus' clothing?
Shone
as that. It was glistening, wasn't it? It was white and glistening. So this was like an angel here. It was shining bright clothing. All right? Did we read 30? I guess we stopped at 30. Let's read 31, 2, and 3 together. And said, Cornelius, thy prayers heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call thither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner of the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all have present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. But in verse 31, he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. This is the angel, isn't it? That prayer is heard. Apparently, Cornelius was praying for some more light, more guidance of what he should do, and the alms.